Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter number 13 this morning. Read verses 30 all the way through the end of the chapter, verse number 37 this morning. Read responsively. Mark chapter number 13. I'll begin on verse number 30. You'll join me on verse number 31 all the way through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter number 13. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 30, "Verily I say unto you that this is the this generation shall not pass till all things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." And let's pray.
Let's pray. Father, please, I pray that you'd give us your mind to listen today. Lord, we all need a truth that'll change our lives. The Word of God can do just that. It's alive. It can be applied to every age, every person, every gender, every race, every people group in the world. Help us to pay attention to this few moments that we'll gather around your word. Help us to gather the truth that we need to help us through the rest of our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Mark chapter 13, if you'll listen to me today, I believe I can help you. I believe there's just a little phrase that's used here that we pass by so often in our Christian life and wonder why we live an unfulfilled Christian life. If you just got saved this week, or if you've been saved 50 years, today will help you, I promise you. Here in Mark chapter 14, Jesus is with his disciples, and he is just soon to be headed to Calvary. His disciples ask him a question, and he begins to tell them what it's going to be like in the end days. Did you know that the disciples thought the end days were when they were alive? Been over 2,000 years, or nearly 2,000 years since that day. Think of how much closer we are today. And he begins to tell them what it's going to be like after Calvary, after the resurrection. And he begins to describe those days earlier in the chapter. Jesus knows what his disciples will face. He knows they'll be afraid. Can you imagine? Let's say that they come and take your preacher and throw him in jail for preaching like he does. Wonder how many people are going to show up to church next week for fear that you might go to jail. You see, that's a little bit what they faced, except it was far more than jail. They killed Jesus. They come pull your preacher out and execute me this week for preaching the gospel. Who's going to come back to church next week? He knew what they were going to go through. He saw what was ahead. He understands their fear and that they may be the ones who die next for truth, but it won't be as soon as they think. He knows the persecution. He knows the rejection. He knows that their fears are going to be there. Listen to this. He also knows it's not fair and it's not just. But listen to this statement. But he sees the importance of what they're doing as worth whatever price it takes. Can I tell you something? In our world today, someone standing and preaching as boldly and as plainly as I do, it's worth every bit of it. Amen. Has nothing to do with money. It's about getting the truth out before Jesus comes. Jesus knew that he had to go to heaven for a while. He knew that one day he would come back for his children, but the Bible says, we read it there just a little while ago, he doesn't even know when he's coming back. He said the angels in heaven don't know. He did not know. Only the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. Right. Say, why? Because that's the way God planned it. You can ask him, not my business. Jesus makes a very interesting statement, though, to his disciples that I will share with you today. It's the title of my sermon, the thought of the sermon, and the topic of which we'll talk today. Verse number 33 says, take heed, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Do you realize that that statement is more than just pray? He said, I want you to watch and pray. Recently, that statement arrested my attention. I know it's used often in the New Testament. God opened my eyes to this truth as I began to investigate it. And I'm going to share with you just a little Bible study I had with myself and how it encouraged and helped me. I think it could help you today. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Are you praying or are you watching and praying? Number one, God wants us to do more than just pray. Did you know God wants you to do more than just pray? He said, watch and pray. Everybody look at me for a second. God doesn't want us to come, pray, ask him for what we want, roll over and go to sleep and put all the responsibility on him. God's not the genie in the bottle. You rub the bottle, he pops out. You say, this is what I want. He gives it to you and goes back into the bottle. That's not what prayer is. And when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, not only do I want you to pray, but I want you to watch and pray. You see, God wants us to pray. Say why? He loves spending time with us. He loves to hear our voice. Yesterday was my wife's birthday, and all of her kids had called her or FaceTimed her, including my son in Texas in the military. He made time yesterday to call his mama. And boy, how happy she was. She got to hear from all her kids. Say, why? Because she enjoys the time with them. She enjoys hearing their voices. Can you imagine how much more God enjoys hearing our voice? Those of you that are parents, enjoy talking to your children as long as they're over the age of three. y'all know what I'm talking about. Until then, you're ready to pinch their head off and spit down the hole. But we enjoy talking to our children. Can you imagine how our Heavenly Father enjoys talking to us? But may I say this? He tells us more than just to talk. He says, I want you to pray and I want you to watch. Watch and pray. Not just pray, watch and pray. Why do you think God, let me rephrase that. Why do we think it's all God's responsibility to answer our prayers? Why do we think that we have to tell God something and he has to obey us? Now, I don't know what your daddy was like, but I know what he's like. When I was a kid, you didn't tell dad what you were going to do. Because you got told what was going to happen, and then you saw it executed. And if it didn't happen like it was told you, something else got executed. Amen? It was called a board meeting. The board was applied to the seat of knowledge. Amen? That was real education, by the way. Why do we think it's all God's responsibility after we pray? Why do we think when we say, God, this is what I need, this is what I hope for, this is what I want, it's all on you? God says, no, I want you to pray, but I want you to watch and pray. Maybe it is his answer will be to show us how we're going to get to the answer. You know, sometimes you're not supposed to answer everything for everybody. The kid's got to figure his way out. Mommies, we know you love your kids, but every once in a while it's good for them to struggle. I've made this statement before. I'll make it again. I might make somebody mad if I'm successful. But we have what we call the World War II generation as the greatest generation, but they reared the worst generation. The ones that went off and fought Hitler in Europe and fought Hirohito in Japan and other places in Asia, may I say something? They came back and said, we don't want our kids to suffer. And they raised the kids of the 60s who would not fight, who did protest, who burnt buildings, who held educators hostage. And pardon me for using the slogan, but they're the ones that said, hell no, we won't go. They're the ones that raised Bill and Hillary Clinton. The greatest generation. They're the ones that allowed Fidel Castro to come back and teach in our colleges. They're the ones that allowed Joseph Stalin to come here and teach in our universities. Go back to the 50s and 60s and find out that I'm right. The greatest generation said, we don't want our kids to come through a depression and go to war. We'll give them everything they want. And they gave us Bill Clinton and Nancy Pelosi and Chucky Schumer. Am I right? Say, what was it? We didn't want our kids to struggle. Nobody likes to see struggle, but God says it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. You learn to bear the load early in life. As you get older, you'll be able to handle it. Now listen to me very carefully. Maybe sometimes God wants you to watch and pray because he's going to show you how to get to the answer. He's not going to give you the answer. The answer may be to teach you what needs done to get to the answer. Not just show you the way, but teach you what needs done. You know, sometimes God wants you to, God's not the United States liberal government that wants to give you everything. You know, it's not God's job to obligate himself to give you everything. God's not a welfare God. Now listen to me very carefully. God's answer may be how to wait on what you need. It may be that God wants you to wait because it's not time to get what you want yet. I remember when I was 13 years old, my brother got a car. I wanted one too, but I had to wait. I had to wait 3 more years till I turned 16. My dad said, you want a car? Yep. He said, good. Raise enough money and buy it yourself. So the week before I turned 16, I bought a 1966 blue Mercury Comet with a 289. Glory to God. I couldn't even drive it home. My brother had to go with me, and Dad dropped my brother and I off, and my brother got to drive my car first. That's not fair. That's torture. Then my dad said, if you want to drive it, you got to pay the insurance. And you got to pay your own fuel. Man, my dad was mean, wasn't he? That's why I'm not begging off the government and depending on them to give me what I want, what I need. God wants us to keep obeying as we pray. God wants us to keep doing things as we pray. And he says, I don't want you just to pray. I want you to watch and pray. Watch for the answer. Look for what needs done. And watch and pray. Don't just pray. So God tells us he wants us to do more than just pray. He wants us to watch and pray. Is it getting hot in here? Or is it just me? All right. Brother Josh, go over here. Drop that thing about 2 degrees. I'm about ready to sweat to death up here. And I'm watching people peel coats off. And when I got older ladies peeling coats off, I know it's warm in here. All right. And my wife's not in here, so it's not her. Okay. So number one, look at me, not Brother Josh. You've seen him before and I'm better looking. All right. The tree is much better than the shrub. All right. Now, or the bush is better than the twig. I don't know what you want to call it. Now listen to me. So, yeah, God says he wants us to do more than just pray, number one. Number two, there are two meanings of the word watch associated here. Now look at me. Give it a minute. It'll cool down. Look at Mark chapter 14, verse number 38. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 14, verse 38. There is no verse 38. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 38. I hope I wrote the right chapter down. You work on as many sermons as I do, sometimes things get a little befuddled here. In Matthew chapter, there's no Matthew 14, 38. Anyway, I believe it's verse number 35. I can't just read my own writing here. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, or at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. It's verse 35. All right. Mark 14, verse 30, or Mark 13, yeah, verse 35. And then you go to Mark chapter 14, verse 38. The Bible says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. All right? So we have two times here that God says, watch and pray. The word watch there, in that instance, means to keep awake or to be sleepless. That means, like someone who had, is in the military, they have to guard duty, they call it watch. While everyone else is sleeping, they're guarding, they're staying awake. When I worked for Brother Hiles, we had security guards 24 hours a day on the church property, and they were supposed to stay awake. I remember, I've always been one to get to the office early. I remember, and in Chicago, in the wintertime, it gets cold. Now, you think it's cold here, but I'm talking 10, 15, 20 below zero with the wind blowing and a foot, foot and a half of snow on the ground. And it hits you on one side and comes out screaming on the other. Yeah, I mean, it's cold. You've never felt cold till you get 20 below zero and the wind's blowing. It just bites. I remember getting to the office one morning about 5:30. Security guard's car was parked right in front of the doors, right where it was supposed to be. I drove in, parked my car, get out. I start walking towards the door, and the security guard's sitting in his car like some of you are in church. I mean, sound asleep. Had his window cracked open, Brother Mike, about that far, but it was on the non-wind side of the car. Say, what'd you do, preacher? Well, I knew he had a gun, so I wasn't going to scare him too bad. But I tapped on the window. He shook himself. Matter of fact, you know who he is. So do I. But I tapped on the window, and he said, oh, Brother Bush, fell asleep, didn't I? I said, mm-hmm. I said, do me a favor. Roll your window down or get out and walk for a few minutes out in this cold air. It'll wake you up. He said, I'm so sorry. I said, Doc, thank you. I said, I just got out of bed and got a warm shower. I said, you've been working all night and took classes all day. I said, you got to go back to college and take more classes, get a few hours sleep and come back and work tonight, don't you? Yes, sir. I said, just walk. You're supposed to be watching, not sleeping. I said, don't worry. I'm not going to tell on you. I said, I don't think you did it out of malice. Just keep yourself awake. Say, oh, you could have got him in trouble. Yeah, but did he need it? But he was supposed to be watching, not sleeping. He just needed somebody to encourage him. He didn't fall asleep the rest of his shift, I promise you. He's scared to death. Now, wait a minute. That word watch means to keep awake or to be sleepless. Jesus wanted the disciples to stay awake and be interested enough to talk to God about his needs. How many times do we find ourselves sleeping instead of obeying God? I'd rather sleep than read my Bible. I'd rather sleep than go to church. I'd rather sleep than be obedient and go out and do that which I'm supposed to do. Can I tell you something? God says to watch and pray. But Matthew chapter 13, look at verse number 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Verse 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. That word watch means to be vigilant, moving to action or searching for something. It's not just staying awake, it's actively searching for something. Like, fellas, when you shoot that deer and it runs off, you got to go watch for it, got to figure out where it's going. Following the blood trail, looking for it, no matter time of day or night. I'm not one of these people that believes you shoot a deer and if you can't find it right away, you just let it lay and go shoot another one. No, if you shoot it, you go find it. Now, every once in a while, you're going to make a bad shot and not find it, but you ought to put a couple miles in before you give up, not a couple minutes. All right? It takes... one of those teaches you to be a better shot. You see, you're supposed to be moved to action. And Jesus said, not only stay awake, but I want you to be moved to action while you pray. Don't just pray, be moved to action while you pray. See, God wants us to pray and then act on it. Maybe that will help bring the answer to come to pass. Sometimes you wonder why you pray and don't get anything because all you do is ask and you don't do anything in reference to it. Folks, if I needed to get something from God, and I'm going to preach to you, but I'm going to go over here to the air. Tell you what, let's see here. Brother John, can you run back and get Brother Scott real quick? Tell him we're burning up in here. All right? And he just put a new thermostat in, but I got sweat rolling everywhere, all right? Can I tell you something? We're supposed to be moved to action while we pray. If I needed something when I was a kid, I didn't just go to Dad and say, Dad, I want this or I need this, and wait for him to give it to me. Say, what'd you do? You pick up your room. You clean things. You got all the wood that fell off the wood pile and stacked it up. And did a few extra things. And then said, Dad, I need something. Say, what was that? Put in action, watching for my prayer. Sometimes God wants you doing something to see if you'll really do something with it after you get it. How many of you remember as a kid or something? And look this way, you've seen Brother Scott, and I am definitely better looking than he is. But don't give me that, Brother Scott, but you got to cool me down here. I got ladies fanning, and then if the ladies are uncomfortable, I know it's hot in here. So just look this way. Sometimes God wants you to be doing something to make sure you're worthy of getting what you asked for. He doesn't want you just praying and say, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. He wants you to watch. He wants you to do something and pray. And in the process of doing that which you're supposed to do, can I tell you something? He may give it to you. Or he'll show you how to get it. Do you know sometimes God's not going to drop a bunch of money out of the air? In all the years, Brother Josh, I've been preaching, 40 years of preaching, God's never dropped money out of the sky for me. But as I was busy doing what I was supposed to do, I've seen God do miracles. As we bought this property, we watched God do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle financially. We saw over $360,000 come in over and above our tithes and offerings, and I didn't ask for a penny anywhere. I got up in front of our church and said, we're going to be busy out on the streets. We're going to keep telling folks about Jesus. We're going to do our part and let God take care of his. Now, everybody look at me for a second here. If you will do the same thing in your life, it's amazing what God could do. It's amazing how many more answers to prayer you could have. Can I tell you how you get rid of bad habits? Do what you're supposed to do and avoid the bad one. Do you know how you quit lying? Tell the truth. It's that simple. You know how you quit smoking? Don't buy cigarettes and don't light them up and put them in your mouth. It's that simple. You know how you quit drinking? Don't buy it. Don't be around it. And don't put it down the pie hole. fill up your time doing that which you should do, not with things you should not do. You know how you give up wrong music? Listen to good music. Do you know how you give up wrong friends? Get around the right friends. Did you know the Christian life really isn't that hard? It is a matter of doing what you're supposed to do, and then God fills in the rest. Boy, that's good stuff. Brother Mike's back here hollering amen. 29 years old, commode hugging drunk. That's a term you used just a little while ago in Sunday school. How'd you give it up? Got saved, put the beer can down, and then jumped behind the wheel of a bus and started driving a bus for kids to come to church. You realize if he averaged 30 people a week on a church bus for 31 years you've been driving, Brother Mike, that's right at 50,000 people have come to church with an old commode hugging drunk. Huh. Guess God can do it if you start doing the right thing. As you do the right thing, the wrong desires start fleeing away. I tell people this all the time. You won't have to separate from the wrong crowd. If you start living right, they'll separate away from you. I walked into an airport waiting on a preacher to show up one day, had my Bible with me, popped it open, started working in baggage claim area, and there was a couple people there of different religion. I won't tell you what they were like, but they were from the Middle East. I sat down right between them, popped my Bible open, and they got up and walked away. I looked to my left, I looked to my right, and there was an older lady on the other side of me over here on my left. And I said, ma'am, do I smell that bad? I was dressed just like this. She said, I don't think it was how you smell. I think it's the book that you got there. And she got up and sat next to me. She said, you're a Christian, aren't you? And you're a preacher. I said, yes, ma'am. I began to talk to her, witness to her. She was a saved lady. Can I tell you something? The wrong crowd separates from you. You don't have to separate from them. You start living right, wrong won't follow you. Brother Mike, do you know I've only been offered alcohol one time in 40 years of preaching? And I led a man to Christ who was an alcoholic. He got saved in his house and he said, what do you want to drink, preacher? He said, I got this. I said, I'm good. He just didn't know any, but that's the only time. You know, I don't have people coming up to sell me drugs. Say why? Pull the Bible out and watch them run. God wants us to pray and then act on it, and that will allow the answer to come, and we'll see the answer because we're watching for it. Listen to this statement. We often get no answer because we're doing no action. Wonder why you pray and get nothing because you're doing nothing other than just asking. God wants us to do all we can and let him do what we cannot. God does not want us sleeping through an answer. He wants our action after we pray to get the answer. Oh, I want to lose weight. Oh, I want to lose weight. Oh, I want to lose weight. So you pray to lose weight, but you never cut the calories. You never increase the exercise. And wonder why we can't lose weight. You know it's in direct proportion to what you poke down the pie hole? Hate to tell you that. And the older you get, the less you poke and the more it pokes out. And you got to work it harder. You get that Chester drawers disease. Your chest falls in your drawers. Or Dunlap disease. It done lapped over your belt. Gravity takes hold. I'm dropping weight. It went from here to here. If I live long enough, it might come out my feet. Did you ever notice Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee, watch this, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You have to call, do, and then he shows you. What we think is the greatest prayer promise in the Bible, God says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Call unto me, and I will show thee. Boy, that's good stuff. Maybe we ought to focus more on the doing than the calling. Amen. Maybe, don't take this the wrong way, maybe instead of praying for 2 hours, pray for 10 minutes and work for an hour and 45 minutes. If I had a cord of wood to split, spending 2 hours begging my dad not to split wood didn't get it split. Something else was going to get split, and the wood was then going to get split. We must call, but we must watch for the answer while we are doing something. You know, most people, by the way, we must watch while we continue to work. Did you know God doesn't often announce when the answer comes? He just answers. Very rarely does God say, "Watch this, y'all, it's going to happen." No, it doesn't work that way. I remember when I was at my lowest point, spiritually, physically, mentally, with this building project. And the county and I were about ready to blow each other up. And I remember, Brother Mike, I had fought, I talked to the governor, I talked to the head of the DEP, to the state of West Virginia. They had talked to my folks, they had talked to the county, and the county had thrown $120,000 extra dollars of stormwater management on our property. We had already closed our loan. We had already had everything approved, and we had to go back through and raise a bunch of money and redo our loan. Go back through a second audit. Oh, I was upset. About 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, Brother Mike, I threw up my hands and I said, "God, I'm tired of it. It's your house, it's your work. I'm doing everything I know to do. I got men's prayer breakfast in the morning, but you take care of it. I can't do anymore." Men's prayer breakfast the next morning. Told the men, "Look, we're going to need $90,000 to add to our loan for this stupid stormwater management, $95,000. I said, "I don't know how we're going to do it. Don't know if the bank's going to approve it. I have no idea what's going on, but let's just pray." As soon as men's prayer breakfast was over, a man met me in my office. I had told the story to the men how I just about gave up the night before. A man walked into my office. He said, "Preacher, what time was that?" I said, "Between 4 and 4:15. Brother Steve, he reached in his pocket. He pulled out a check for $25,000. He said, "Preacher, last night at 4:15, my wife and I wrote that check for the church. They weren't even church members." I said, "Hang on, I got to go outside and shout." When I gave it to God, but by the way, I showed up to men's prayer breakfast. I was going soul winning. I was still doing what I was supposed to do. And God said, "Because you're doing it, here you go." He didn't announce it was coming, but it came. I could show you hundreds of thousands of dollars that God's done the very same way. Hundreds of thousands. You see, God tells us to watch and pray. Two meanings. One to stay awake, and the other is to be vigilant, searching for. Number next, and I must hurry. God tells us to watch and pray for his next coming, for the rapture. Look at Mark chapter 13 again. Look at verse number 32. Is it coming down or is it going up? Because the water's flowing right now, let me tell you. Whew. Mark chapter 13, verse number 32. You're not complaining about how warm or cool it is today in here. Tell you what, Brother Harry and Brother Josh, can you pop them doors open? Maybe that'll help. Or Dad's got that one. Just pop a door open. It's got to be cooler out there than it is in here. Look at me. I'm sorry, but I'm dying and I can't take my coat off. Look at verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Can I tell you something? We don't know. Look at me. We don't know when Jesus is coming, but we know this, he's coming soon.
Yes, sir.
We know that the day will come where he'll come back. The Bible says that he'll come back, the trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Can I tell you something? Praise God, Jesus is coming. He said it'd be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, or as in the days of Noah. And we're getting pretty close to it. If you read the first part of Mark chapter 13 here, you find out we're real close to what it was like in those days. May I say something? Luke chapter 21, look at verse number 36. I'll read it to you. You need not turn there. Luke chapter 21, verse number 36, the Bible says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." Can I tell you something? Jesus is coming back.
Yes, sir.
You want to get excited? How about we pray and we watch for his return?
Amen.
Jesus is coming. He's coming back one of these days, and we ought to get all excited about it. Amen? Now, listen to me very carefully here, and I've got to hurry. We should ask him to come, but we're not supposed to sit on our blessed assurance doing nothing, waiting for him. We're supposed to stay busy. Churches are running and hiding. Churches are shutting down in fear of a virus. Well, bless God, they didn't make the virus big enough for me to shut down. God's work is bigger than a germ. God's work's more important than a germ. We're supposed to watch and pray. Did you know people got sick a long time ago? Whether they went to church or not? Do you know more people got sick not going to church than did going to church? You see, we're not supposed to be sleeping. We're supposed to be ready. We don't have time to turn there, but Matthew chapter 25, come back on a Wednesday night. One of these Wednesday nights, I'll cover this. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 had oil in their lamps, and their lamps were trimmed and ready. 5 did not. When the husbandmen came, 5 were ready, 5 were not. And God said, those 5 that are ready can come. The others, see you later. And the Bible says, watch. We are to watch and pray. We're not supposed to just pray. We're to watch and pray. Number four, and I'll finish with this. God tells us to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 13 both says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Did you know? Everybody look at me. Did you know we all have flesh that's weak? Did you all know we put ourselves in situations where we're tempted and we're to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation? It doesn't say while you're in it, it says not to even enter into it. Can I tell you something? If you have a weakness about smoking, I wouldn't go where they smoke. If you have a weakness to alcohol, I wouldn't go to where there's alcohol or be near it.
Right.
Say, why? Duh. And they think I'm weird. If you have a weakness to people that draw you the wrong direction, don't be around people that draw you the wrong direction. It's real simple. Say, what is that? You pray that you enter not into temptation, but if you have a problem with alcohol, don't drive by the bar on the way to work. Find another route. Don't drive by the old watering holes. You say, preacher, that just sounds so simple. It is. The devil's got you so blinded to think that it's got to be hard. Did you know it's really not that hard? Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun. Amen, preacher. We're to watch so we don't let our flesh overpower our spirit.
Yes, sir.
Too many of us live with our flesh overpowering our spirit. The flesh is willing and the spirit is weak. How about we make our spirit powerful and our flesh weak? When we go into temptation, we put ourselves by our own will into a situation. Had we thought about it, we wouldn't even be there. How many times have you been somewhere and thought, how did I end up here? Why did I ever do this? It's because you didn't think in advance of what was going to happen. Man's spirit is willing to do right, and it wants to be godly, but our flesh is weak, and we don't let our spirit control our flesh. We let our flesh control our spirit. Everybody's all wound out about time change. Did you know the flesh is willing and the spirit is weak? We need to learn to live by principles. Principles are the spirit and the word of God, not by feelings, which is the flesh. We're not supposed to let our flesh make our decisions. We're supposed to let the Bible principle and the spiritual things make our decisions for us. The disciples saw how fast the flesh can take them away from spirituality. Say, how do you know? Because by the time they had been watching Jesus and praying with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, within hours, Peter is cursing and swearing, and all of them forsook him. They left the ministry to go back to their old jobs. In hours, they had all quit the ministry. They were all upset about what took place. We'll just give up. If it's going to take Jesus down that road, we're just going to give up. Huh. They feared more their own health, listen to me, and their own prosperity and their own wealth than they did doing what God wanted them to do. Well, if they crucify Jesus, I might be next. Hello? Well, I'm afraid if I do something for the Lord, I might get sick. I'm afraid if I don't do something for the Lord, I'm going to get sick. I'm not critical. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you want to wear gloves, wear gloves. If you want to wear a face shield, wear a face shield. Do us a favor. Make sure it's dark colored so we can't see you. I mean, no, I'm teasing. Some of you put a bag over your head, we'd be happy. But I'm teasing. Not really. People fear for their own flesh more than they do fearing God. America used to have some Christian character. She doesn't anymore. I fear our Muslim president, Barack Obama, may have been right that America has ceased to become a Christian nation. We don't have much Christian character. Churches are shut down everywhere. In a time where we ought to be proclaiming the truth and giving hope, they're shutting up saying there's no hope. Our flesh has more influence on us because it pleases our sinful pride more. So we enter into temptation. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Fellas, don't go on those websites. Don't even go near them. Don't go near the bar. Don't go near the counter where they sell the cigarettes. Enter not into temptation. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. We need to be humble enough to pray. I've helped many people get off alcohol, cigarettes, all kinds of sinful diseases. Give them a Bible and say, look, before you walk into that bar, read this Bible 15 minutes, pray, and call me. You know the devil hates that book enough, he'll even take the desire to drink alcohol away. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. You see, our temptation is to let the flesh be first over our spirit, and God says you're supposed to let the spirit go first over the flesh. We ought to obey the Bible, and in the process, when our flesh wants something else, obey the Bible. instead of taking an extra long nap today, be back to church tonight. Instead of doing what the flesh wants to do, we do what the spirit wants to do. I've got to finish. Watch and pray. God does not want us just to pray. God said, don't just pray, watch and pray. Pray, but watch for his answers. Pray, but watch for his coming. Pray, but watch for his help so that you don't go into temptation. But may I say this, God won't force himself on anybody. You know, God doesn't come down, grab you by the back of the head and slam your head down and say, do this. God doesn't work that way. God says, I want you to do it because you love me. I want you to do it because I said so. I want you to do it because it's the right thing for you to do and best thing for me as well. Watch and pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure. I've never trusted Christ, but I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven someday. Would you raise your hand? All right, there's a hand, there's another. You may put them down. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. That was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. I mean this. If you raised your hand, if you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. This isn't a place where somebody's going to laugh at you. This is a place where this is where you're supposed to get it settled. Because if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, you could die and go to hell. And that's not what God wants, and that's not what you want, and that's not what we want. We want you to know for sure. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're on your way. We're not going to force you into anything. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join our church, no holds barred, tell you what we are. This is what we are. You can come. But whatever the need, maybe you just need to kneel at an old-fashioned altar and tell God you're going to not just pray, but you're going to watch and pray.